Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We return on the Beacon Broadcast to our examination of the qualifications for pastors in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Thank you, those of you whose financial gifts make it possible for us to maintain this broadcast on this and other stations. The passage reads as follows. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. And it goes on from there, but I'll stop because that takes us through verse 3, and we have covered all of the qualifications in these verses up through verse 3, except still there are two that we haven't nailed down in the third verse, and they are gentle and not quarrelsome. Perhaps we should have lumped those together with the earlier one in verse 3 that said not violent, because they do seem to go together. But we are told here that a pastor, or a potential pastor, one who is being considered for the office of pastor, must be someone who is gentle, that's a positive requirement, and not quarrelsome, that's the negative side. The old King James said, not a brawler. Not a brawler. From a Greek word that means to fight, to be combative. In other words, he should be uncontentious, not quarrelsome, not a fighter, one who would prefer not to fight. It goes deeper, actually, than the one earlier that said not violent, because a person should not go about with a chip on his shoulder, having an attitude that acts like he wants to fight, spoiling for a fight. But that would not qualify a man for the office of pastor. He needs to be a person who gives evidence of being a peaceable person. He loves peace and works to that end. That, of course, is what Christ taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The peacemakers shall be called the children of God. There's something about the new birth that gives God's people a desire for peace. Now, not peace at any price. And again, you have to go back to the scriptures and realize that there are many times when God's people are going to have to take a firm stand, and sometimes that's going to require some kind of a fight. Not a physical fight, of course, but some kind of a fight. We are to stand fast. We are to contend for the faith. We are not to compromise truth. We are not to give in to those who want to alter the truth of God. And so many times God's people will find themselves in a battle, but it should always be that they are, as it were, dragged into it, forced into it, and that they have done everything they can to avoid it. That's the right attitude, and that's the kind of qualification you should look for in a pastor. A pastor should not be the kind of person, as you may have heard, who will fight at the drop of a hat and will even drop the hat. You know what I'm talking about? A person who is just spoiling for a fight, cruising for a bruising, loves to argue, loves to debate. I've known people like that. And I've had to curb that within myself. I see some of that within my own personality, my own heart. And that has to be restrained. Yes, there must be a willingness to fight and not compromise the truth. But there must not be a desire for it. I'm not looking for a fight. I'm not looking for an opportunity to debate and argue. I will do so when it is required. I will not back away from an honorable fight. That would be dishonorable. I will not cut and run when the truth of God and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ is at stake. But so much of it is in how you do it. I guess you understand that, don't you? Sometimes I read things. I was given something to read not too long ago from another pastor, passed along to me by a mutual friend, and he wanted me to read it and evaluate it, and I wasn't quite sure what to say, because on the one hand, the truth that was communicated was excellent, and I did. I sent word back that this was showed solid understanding of truth. It was clear. It was compelling. That there were so many good things about it. But there was something that bothered me about it, and that was there was such a combative spirit about the whole thing. It was like he was just daring people to disagree with him, just looking for ways to put people down. Some of the things he said in there about people who disagreed with him were very, very harsh, very rude, and even to some extent crude, and in my opinion, entirely unnecessary. You can say the same thing, you can stand for the truth, you can oppose the error, you can do all of the things that need to be done in a much more gracious way. Why go out of your way to do it in such a combative, jarring fashion when it's not necessary? It really isn't necessary. Well, I think that's exactly what the scripture is getting at here. The pastor should not be given to wine, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome. It is possible, dear friends, to disagree without being disagreeable. Do you know that? That's possible. It's not easy, but it's possible. And godly leaders need to cultivate that ability. No peace at the expense of truth, but peace up to the very limit of truth. Let's be peaceable where we can. Sometimes people, God's people, good people, have trouble understanding the difference between essential truth and non-essential truth, and we've dealt with that quite a bit on this broadcast. The Bible makes a distinction between them. There are things that it's okay for Christians to differ about and not to separate over, not to argue over, not to call each other's motives into questions and so forth. There's so much of that. There's way too much of that. I used to receive a periodical that came to me that had just way too much of that in it, and I let it go. I didn't continue my subscription. I don't read that anymore. There were a lot of good things in it, but it had this feisty, just reminded me of a rooster just out there in the barnyard, just looking for another rooster to fight. Just always on the prowl, on the fight, looking for somebody to take on. And that's the way the whole tone of this periodical seemed to be. Just looking for a chance to pounce, denouncing this one and that one and this thing and that thing. It seemed to be the main thrust of this particular periodical. Well, thanks, but no thanks. I appreciate people who believe in truth, value truth, defend truth, but let's learn to do it graciously. There's a right and a wrong way to do it. There's a godly and an ungodly way to stand for truth. And those who love a good fight do not make good pastors. Those who love to fight do not make good pastors. If they have that characteristic, they need to curb it. They need to get beyond it. They need to mature beyond it. They need to learn another way. They need to learn to be more gentle, more peaceable, more conciliatory in their approach. Doesn't mean they have to compromise truth, but it means they need to have a more gentle spirit, a more truly Christ-like spirit. And so they must be not quarrelsome, but gentle. That's the opposite, isn't it? Gentle. That's the whole point. A gentle manner, a gentle spirit. Gentleness, sweet reasonableness is the way this word can be translated. In fact, it's from the Greek word that means reasonable. They should be reasonable. They should be gentle. This is a word that is associated with meekness. Christ was meek. He was not weak, but he was meek. Moses, we are told, is one of the meekest men to ever live upon the earth. Now, study the life of Moses. You realize that he was a strong man, a leader. He had to be to lead the children of Israel under very difficult circumstances. He had to stand for truth. He had to oppose error. He had to oppose people who were determined to do the wrong thing. He was required to do all of those things, but there was a meekness about him, a humility about him, a gentleness about him, and the way he did things that was very God-honoring. We need to be gentle, mild, fair, equitable, kind are some of the synonyms that will help us here, of a mild disposition, genial, willing to make allowances for the mistakes of others. You know people, as I have, who, if somebody makes a mistake, they latch onto that mistake and won't let go. Always bringing it up. Always, they just cannot let it go. I remember, 6 years ago, when you did this. I can't forget that. I can't let it go. A man like that, or a woman like that, obviously we're not considering women for the office of pastor, but a man like that will not make a good pastor. He's got to let things go. He's got to believe the best about people. He's got to have a gentle spirit and a mild disposition. He has to be willing to listen to others. He has to be able to accept criticism without overreacting to it. He needs to understand the difference between defending truth and defending himself. Sometimes we just need to not defend ourselves. Let God take care of that. Let others take care of that. That's not our responsibility to defend ourselves. It's our responsibility to defend the kingdom of Christ, to defend the truth of Christ, to defend the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastors have a very important responsibility in that area. But to defend ourselves against attacks, well, sometimes, again, studying the life of the Apostle Paul, you'll see where he defended himself in order to maintain his apostolic office for the good of the church, for the sake of Christ's kingdom. But just to defend yourself personally, you're going to have to learn that is not always necessary, that is not always advisable, that tends to make one quarrelsome. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.